So for a long time, and it's a global phenomenon, the interest in getting the women to be at par with men forced all of us to abandon the male child. In Ghana some time ago, you heard, send your girl child to school, send your girl child. Roma? Aswaba. Currently in all the universities, women are overrepresented. They are more than men in all our universities. Our University of Ghana, they are about 51.2. In all our PhD and master programs, women are more than men. This is very good because after all, we are bridging the gap. But if you bridge the gap and leave other issues unaddressed, it's as if you are saying that we don't care what happens to men in the future. When I lived in Scandinavia, I was struck by something. When I was picked by a woman in the airport, the next 4 days, all my engagements were with women. I scarcely found a man. A woman picked me from the airport. I went to the hands of women supervisors, 2 of them, plus 1 in Ghana, 3. The one who led me to the office was a woman. All my neighbors on the block were women. The HOD was a woman. But for a guy who led me to the residence, I was going to be in for the next couple of days before I moved to a permanent apartment. All my encounters were women. Then they invited me for some sort of let's say, cultural learning, to know a bit about the culture in which I found myself. And the first lesson to me was that in this nation, this is how significance and importance is attached to these classes of persons. First on the list, a woman. Second on the list, a man. A child. Third on the list, a dog. Fourth on the list, a woman. A man. So first, woman. Second, child. Third, a pet or a dog. And fourth, a man. Then I said, how? They said, well, Joseph, that is Scandinavia. The next experience I had was that almost all the lecturers I was encountering from my department to the other departments, you can count 8 women, 1 man. What's happening here? And then I saw that this agenda of feminizing has been overstretched. So the men have left academia in Scandinavia, and they have gone into business because they saw that they have to find a way of controlling the women still. So they've gone into business, money making, you know, and they make the money. And the women are in academia. You know, academia scandal. So that the power will balance. So you meet a man and he's driving some Porsche car, and then you say, you are at university? How are the women doing there? And they will always tell you, how are the women doing there? That meant that they left the university long time ago for the women to be there. Very interesting. And this has been a global phenomenon. Nobody cares about a man's mental health. And I may not be able to exhaust this. This is about 104 slides. But I'll give you some of the important points for at least for us to begin this important issue. So let's begin from the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said in verse 26 of Genesis 1, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. The next verse we read, or the next time we come across a man, he says, and God would, a dust of the ground, fashion the man. Then he said in verse 18 of chapter 2, that it is not good for the man to be alone. I'll make him a helpmate. Then the woman was introduced. So the man was made first, then the woman was, and God made the woman from the side of the man. Now, what does it tell you? What it tells you is that the woman is another man in a different form. That's what it means. The woman was not made from the dust of the ground. The reason is that God didn't have to recreate anything. The man that he has created is able to multiply. So he just took a part of the man and fashioned another man. But that man is called woman. That's what Adam said when he saw the woman in Genesis 2, from the verse 22, he said, this is the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. Then we read that for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be united with the wife, and the twain shall be one. So we are told that the man leaves and then picks the woman and moves. So a lot of expectation, a lot of demands are placed on the man. When the woman encountered the devil, the question is, why didn't the devil come to the man? Think about it. Because we are told in chapter 3, from verse 8 following of Genesis, that the man was standing by the woman. So why didn't the devil go to the man? I just want us to begin from there. But the devil went to the woman. Because there is something about the woman the devil took advantage of, which is the woman's sensuality, not sexuality, sensuality. A woman's appeal, a woman's ability to relate with things around her. The woman saw, as the Bible says, saw the fruit, and it was appealing to the eye and good for food. She picked it. So the devil saw something there and took advantage. Then the Bible says, and he gave some to the man. And Timon must say, Adam, go fool. But you know, Jan, Uncle Babia. If he's a garden. He's a god, Uncle Fred, your neighbor. Meaning no crowd, Papa, Bacon, or Senna, Okucha body. Now, Oma Manabra, I echo corn of my cheddy. To Ucha body and Papa can have a senna, Adam Lunu Abe. Oh, she came Lunu, Unu Abena. Very funny. Unu Abena, not to say, I want to say, hey, hey, hey. And now, if you tell me, I want to go on a boat, see, and I want to. Oh, not that, maybe. I mean, there are all kinds of stuff. But the Bible said that the man was by her and gave the woman, the man, some to eat. And the story continues that both fell. From that time until now, if you look at human history, the man has been the most destructive species of the human genome. Let me put that way. The man. That is the male man. And I'll give you just three things. Globally, let's see some statistics before I move on. About men and women. Let's look at how they compare when it comes to something. For example, globally, when you look at the UNDOC report, it says there are currently about 8.68 times more men than women in prisons. In other words, if you pick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 persons, one of them is a woman, but the 7, if you pick 9, the nine are males who are criminals compared to one female. So more males are in prison than females. In other words, men kill more. Men engage in murder. They steal. They steal. All the wars on who is fighting in Ukraine? No, tell me. It's a male man. It's a man who say. I mean, today I heard him when he presented on the St. Petersburg Economic Forum. He says that the West, they have failed in attempting to isolate Russia. He's a man. And recent statistics show that 25,000 Ukrainians have been wasted. Russians have been wasted in Ukraine as soldiers. 25,000. Russia has only declared, I think, 4,000. 25,000 men. Those who have died there, they are men. Think about it. I went to the Norwegian maximum prison as part of my visit on suicidality and global whatever. So I was invited and I went there. When I entered the prison, the worst prisoners I saw, none were women. In fact, they looked like animals. I'm telling you, they are so bad that they are in bars, thick bars. And as you walk by, you just have to maintain some distance, maintain. A guy is telling me, when they hold you, one of them grabs you, they can break your arm. They are in bars. And I'm saying, look at their faces. I never saw one female. The prison is a member. The male man. Again, look at this. Look at this. Globally, men are 3 times more likely to die by suicide than women. A man is likely to kill himself. 3 times likely. In other words, three men, one woman. 3 times. They'll kill themselves. More than. Please, those of you at the back, you know, I always don't like that. Come here. Move. Come here. Come. Please come. Come. Wonderful. About someone, the men should be any. All right. So men are 3 times likely. In fact, in Ghana, in 2012, there was a data, one of my colleagues had a data. In that data, we're looking at, for example, men who have killed themselves in Ghana. And the data showed that, I mean, he was able to reach about 298 of such persons. And 295 of those who have killed themselves were men. Only 3 were women. This should give you some ideas. The doctors are here. Pediatricians will tell you that the chances that a child, a male boy, will survive when they are born is slimmer than a girl. If I'm lying, tell me something. It's true. So when you give birth to a child, a girl, she is likely to survive than a boy. So all the men here who have survived, you are victors. You are victors, yes. You are likely to die than the girls. So if you have survived, it means that God wanted you to survive. Now, not only that, I'll give you another one before we move on. Look at this one too. Globally, in one study that I just reviewed, 85% of victims of domestic violence were women. All that meant is that the men perpetrate the evil. Only 15% are men who suffer abuse at home. 85% of the time, men perpetrate abuse on women at home. They will beat them up. There was a case in Zoom, I think 4 years ago, before COVID, 2018 or so, 5 years. The woman, the guy has an anger problem, and the wife came home, and the man was very angry. Then he said, okay, what do you mean? I'm going to go to the house. Whilst they are on the way, the woman is carrying a one-year, two-month baby. The man decapitated the woman from behind. You know, Odinanim, Uchaniti, shoo, on the top of him, and the blood was just oozing on the child. What is that? The mailman. Now the last one. Men are more likely to die than women. Globally, men die earlier. In fact, some estimate that a man will die and it may take the woman 10 to 15 years for the woman to live. And there's another study that shows that if you marry and you and your wife, the woman dies first, oh, the man will last an average of 2.5 years. He's gone. But if the man dies first, the woman will live. My dad died, my mom lived 33 extra years. One of my wives, that's my brother's wife, passed on just last month. And we are struggling to keep our brother alive. Because, oh yeah, we are sharing. The last time I went to her, I said, hey, if you don't, you don't want to die again. I was putting pressure. Don't die, oh. Keep yourself alive. I've been calling him. Make sure you are alive. Don't die. But the reason is that men don't seek help. And as I move on, you will see why I think that it is important we look at men's mental health. The pressure on men currently in Ghana. And sometimes over here, oh baby, that's what is happening now. Oh now why moon to me, Bema de is so shimmy, so shimmy. So I want shimmy dia. And you know Bema. Last 2 months, I heard a story. This was one of my colleagues managing a case. So we're case conferencing. He said, the woman came and said, and I said, on the Bema. Let me see can tell you and Debbie. So the woman goes out and buys food. They have two kids. And feeds the children. And the man comes home and says, ah, now I've got my baby. What are you, man? So the person is asking me, what should we do? The woman is so, so insensitive. How can you cook in a house and you don't, how much will a man eat? Don't tell me how much will a man eat? You heard the PHC, and the Population Housing Census, 2021, that women are in excess of close to 500,000 in Ghana. Uh-huh. So if you are looking for a man to marry, the competition is going to be keener. That's what it means. There's going to be a lot of competition. If you have a boy and he is going to marry, you're going to have five women flocking around the boy. Hey, me too, I'll marry you, me too, I'll marry you, me too, I'll marry you. So we need to protect the male species. Now, that's the truth. If God grant you a boy, like my friend, he has four boys. Four. You need to protect the boys and raise them to be very, 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 very sound mentally. The man should not destroy his home. The man should not kill his children. The man should not beat up the wife. The man should not be stealing. If you look at all the leadership crisis in Africa, it's the men. If I'm lying, tell me. Because the men are the leaders in Africa. They steal. In fact, I have a friend in Nigeria currently. He says, Osafo, Ehano, the corruption and shattered here. You will see somebody packing and then removing the Nigeria sacks and his money. They have just gone to steal money and they are removing like. I said, what? He said, oh, I will take a picture and show it to you. The corruption is not wearing a cloth. Men are simply wicked. And the question is, why? Okay, so let's go. Let's look at some great truths about the man in the Bible as I began. Let's start. Go. The first is that the man was made first by God to take care of the garden. So the man is a caretaker. And if caretakers mess up, you know. A caretaker of your home messes up, you know. That is why when the man is not in good mental health, your home is in trouble. I'm telling you. It's not a woman. When the man is not sound, our negu. If you're negu. The Bible says that the Lord told him that he should take care of the garden. So the man is a caretaker. Number two, let's go. The man provided the raw material for creating the woman. God took something from the side of the man and created the woman. So the man is a raw material provider. When men are in shape, everything is in shape. They give you the good ideas, the encouragement. They are spurring you on. They are nudging you on. When your man is broken at home, your life is broken. That is the truth. So if you're a woman here and you think that, you don't know what they're talking about. He's a raw material for your life. And he has a spiritual connotation. When the man is in shape, your life is in shape. When the man is breaking down, you are breaking down. Simple as that. It's a fact my wife couldn't come here. She will have confirmed some things for you. When I'm not in shape and my kids know, there's trouble. Everybody senses that daddy is not in shape. And my girls will come, daddy, are you okay? I say, I'm okay. He said, no, we don't feel it. We feel we are not okay. Because I'm the raw material in the house. Do you understand the point? I'm the raw material. It is from me that so many things issues spiritually. So if I am not in shape, how can the refined materials be in shape? So if you understand this principle, you will keep your man in shape. Number three, let's go. The male man's failure of responsibility changed human history. He was given opportunity to take care of the garden. If you are taking care of the garden, maybe the devil wouldn't have entered the garden. We don't know, but it's a good postulation. Because the Bible says in Genesis 2:15 that God says, take care of the garden and dress it. We don't know what that means. But I feel that it simply meant that Adam was given some authority to guard who enters the garden. He had a spiritual authority. Don't forget at that time, he hadn't fallen. And Satan had already fallen and thrown down on earth. So Adam was given authority, perhaps, to make sure the garden is in shape. Maybe he has to walk around the edges of the garden and make sure the devil doesn't enter. And perhaps he missed it. And the devil managed and entered the garden. Yeah, he entered the garden. So when a man misses taking care of the home, anybody at all can enter the home. That is when the man loses his priestly role in the home, there'll be chaos. I'm telling you, there'll be chaos. A man doesn't pray for the wife, doesn't pray for the children, doesn't pray for himself, doesn't pray for anything. No. For all my children, every birthday, I'll make sure my hand is on somebody. I pray for them every birthday. I don't leave it. Because it's my priestly duty. And sometimes a prayer of my children alone can destroy satanic plans and plot. You may not know. Because I'm the priest in the house. Every man here, you are the pastor in the house. Amen. No, come on, say amen to that. Yeah. So I saw for movie. Let's go. The male man has been a source of covenantal blessings to humanity. Now check all the covenants in the Bible. The Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. Just check it. The Mosaic covenant. It all started with men. All kinds of covenant. Currently, we are in the New Testament covenant. And that is Jesus. After all, Jesus didn't come in the form of a woman. That one, why? Jesus came in the form of a man. That should tell you that God wanted a man to be in leadership. Leadership to be in redemptive control. And that is why the Bible says that the first Adam, who is Adam, and the second Adam, who is Christ, they must compare. He must not bring a woman. You can't compare. He must bring the first Adam, who was given responsibility to control the earth and lost it to the devil. But he said the second Adam is a quickening spirit. So a man must come in a similitude of Jesus. So all covenantal sources in the Bible, they are traced to men. And yet they are also the most wicked. Let's go. God shares the title Father with a male man. Our Father, which art in heaven. One day I was telling my wife, have you heard our mother which art in heaven? I say, hey, it's Father's Day. There's nothing like our mother. So you people in this house, I am your mother, I'm your father, I'm your everything. Yeah. Ah, that's what I said. Our Father, which art in heaven. All the women pray to our Father. All the men pray to our Father. So God shares that title with us. We should be proud of ourselves. Amen? Our Father. Our Father. Our Father. You know? Today when I returned, I came from work a bit earlier and I was studying. Then my daughter came there. He said, oh, Daddy, so do you have time for yourself? I shook my head. He said, it's not easy to be a father. But when my little boy was growing up, he's bowing his head. Anytime I will serve the meal, he will come and say, hey, it's sweet to be a father. You know, he measured fatherhood fatherhood by the privilege of being served a good hot meal. You know, and the last one is being worse than him. Nanake. You know, sometimes when I'm served a meal, I'm eating. It's good to be a father. Daddy, my daddy, yeah. Daddy, I'm here. So I said, Nana, what is it? The food. So being served a good meal, he sees that as some great opportunity. Like, hey, this one here, hey. So is you, father. And my little girl, Becky, she's the wittiest amongst all of them. She will come in and say, my father. Now you know I love you, Pao. She wants to eat all the food. Because for them, fatherhood is an enjoyable state. You know, it's like everything is set for you. They don't know the sweat, the blood. Yesterday I told you here that when you hear the phrase, Jesus died, it simply means that somebody's inconvenience attained your convenience. God killed Jesus so that you'll be at peace. And I was using the bread that sometimes I buy. Sometimes I don't have the money and I'm checking here to just make sure I get bread. But when I come on the way, they tear the bread and they eat it. I said, I don't know the sweat I've gone through to get the bread. Hello. So God shares the title Father with the male man. Let's go on. Jesus came in the form of a male man. He was a boy. He grew up at 12. Luke 2:52 says, and the child grew. He's a boy. He died at age 33. So he came in the form of a male man. Let's go on. The male man is given a function of authority and leadership at home. Ephesians 5 says he's the head of the family, just as Christ is the head of the church. So he's a head. The man is a head. And let us as believers accept that. All the ladies here, let's say the man is a head. Man meant monka ni. Na man nkwa na nka man nkwa nka. E man nkwa monka o. Monka ni biwe. For the last time. The man is the head. And that you see, that position, headship, doesn't mean that you are not important. If you go to a school and there is a headmaster, are we saying that all the teachers are not important? Not at all. That's the point we are making. The headmaster is there to just administer. But as a teacher in the school, the headmaster cannot teach the maths. It's the teacher who teaches the maths. Are you getting the point? When we understand headship as a product, not as product, but as a measure of a man's responsibility, the women will not fight. Let me turn my head. No, that's not a thing. That's not a thing. Listen, when you board an aircraft, we have the pilot and we have the passengers. There's what we call the crew. Then we have the passengers. A passenger can never be a pilot. But it doesn't mean that the passenger is unimportant. Because in that particular aircraft, there can be a president in an aircraft. Please, are you getting the point? If an aircraft is carrying President, who? What's the guy? American president, what's his name? Biden, to a meeting. As soon as he boards the aircraft, the most important person in the aircraft is the pilot. Are you getting the analogy? It's not the man. It's not President Biden, not at all. So the fact that the pilot is the most important man in the flight doesn't mean that President Biden is no longer a president. No. It simply means that at that moment in time, he is administering affairs. And the women must appreciate that the man is the administrator of affairs. The man takes care of the home. The man manages the home. That is his job. When you rob a man of that position, you are doing something bad. And in my work for the past 23 years as a psychologist, a time will fail me to recount how many men have told me the disrespect, the anguish, the insult. When my wife was giving birth to our third girl, Becky, you know, I was in the hospital. This was in Norway. And then the Norwegian women who were equally giving birth, they would call the man and slap them, pow, pow, and spit on them. I was like, I told my wife, wouldn't you now try your heart? I said, hey, Bija, how? Sounds like fun here. Now we are there. Wait, where are there? Wait, where are there? The Bible said, I will increase your pain during childbirth. Adamin, I'm here. God himself said that I will increase your pain during childbirth. And then he told the man to that, you will sweat. And to be able to na so trip. Now, I want to help my son. And my wife was in pain and she was smiling and said, what about the power of the baby? You know, oh, there was this woman. Yeah, no one bono, no one spitting, no one bono, no one canoe. Then, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I said, Jimmy, what is okay? Oh, this is a woman's arm on conscience. Where are you? Then, okay. Ah, now that many women are never fruit. I gave you a sperm, you brought an egg. So, why is it that during the birth, it's a man who caused the pain? Where is this theology coming from? No. Meanwhile, the Bible says that by birth, the woman shall be saved through birth. And it's referring to Jesus, when Jesus is born by a woman. And the women, don't ever do that. Because listen, nobody has ever carried God in the womb. The woman has done it. It's a big thing. So I don't see why you should be slapping me like that. You carried God in your womb. I am only giving you a human being to carry, and you are slapping me. I'll slap you some. Because you have no man here can ever carry God. In fact, no man here can ever produce a God sperm. No man. But a woman has just carried God in the womb. And you and I agree that carry a small human being. You are slapping me. Oh, mommy, I'm going to say that. So what do biologists and psychologists say about the man? Let's see what biologists and psychologists are saying about the male man. It gives us, at least I'm giving you a picture. And by now, you are beginning to think of where the stresses of a man can come from. The home, the responsibility, the culture. Mema dear, it's all your fear. Remember, baby, your home, pray, pray in Ghana. One of our studies on suicide, men are killing themselves. A third room, there was a man I took to Metro TV 7 years ago. Those of you who watch that program, he went for a loan, 5,000 Ghana City, no, 50,000 Ghana City for poultry, and did not get a good advice from the, is it veterinary? Eh? Veterinary officer. So, you know, they give them vaccines. And you must not miss some of the vaccines. But the guy missed some of the vaccines. And all the chicks died. Then he took the money from some of these, how do you call them? Not the banks. These financial institutions. How do you call them? Savings and loans. So they began chasing him. One day he went to town and bought Nkuredru. Now, I did this on Metro TV 7 years ago, live. And decided to poison the wife and five kids. Two girls and three boys. Poisoned them. So the woman had prepared the meal, served the dish. I was about to just fufu and soup, and was going to the room to bring a plate. Then he poured. The woman dished everything on it. Then he had a gas to pray over the food as well. So he said, when they were about to eat, the last one said, "Daddy, don't worry, okay? When I grow, I'll buy you an aeroplane." Then he broke down and began crying. He began scattering the food. The woman said, "What is wrong, Daddy? Are you mad?" Kicking the head, screaming, lying, and rolling. Then the woman comforted. In fact, that woman is a strong woman. Comforted him. Held him together. He had two on the chair and a trance. He said, "Adria, Nina made a poison a goon. I wanted to kill all of us because I can't pay my debt." Then he made a grasp. The way men think, we will learn, is different. So when you see your man is very quiet, you have to get closer. Don't say that, "Oh, susumu, oni susumbi emu." Some of you that have to do. Oh, he's entering into the spirit. And those of us as pastors, we are here and say, "Oh, he's kabeing. I'm dying." He said, "I'm kabeing." Let's go, my brother. The man is more aggressive than woman. Biologists confirm this. And the reason, let's go to the next slide. The reason is that there is a particular hormone in man called testosterone. It is responsible for a man's activeness, a man's dominance. In fact, in some studies, they've indicated that the normal range of testosterone is about 300 to 1,200 nanograms per deciliter. For men, and about 30 to 95 nanogram deciliter for women. Now that's about 10 to 12 times. So men have more testosterone. That's why we are more aggressive. We are more agile. We performance, we can jump, we can scream, we can, you know, one of the ways you can check a man's strength. You know, sometimes in a home, all of them are trying to open something they can't open. And they give it to the near to be men in the house, Kobe and Joel. They are near to be men. They are not men yet. And they will try, they can't open. Then they bring it to me. And I say, yeah, you are going to see the father. Then I bottle pa shout now. No, but it's interesting. My the power in my hand, they are not men yet. They are now being men, they are muscles. They are boys, you know. But I will open it. I have more testosterone, more than they do. But it is this particular hormone that has often been, accused of being the reason for why men can be, for example, men have strength, they have sexual prowess, and men are status seeking, they are dominant, they are aggressive, sexual misconduct, rapes. This particular testosterone has been accused for that. And please get me right. Women have testosterone, but men have more than women. And it can vary. In some women too, they can have more male hormones, as sometimes you can see. And it can even interfere with birth. So doctors will have to sometimes even work on them before they're able to take a seed. All right? So the man is more aggressive. This is the reason why a lot of men are going to engage in war. If you check human history, men have died in war than any other than the women, because they are likely to go to war. My father was 92, and there was a small challenge between my town and the next town. When we got home, he has taken a second. Old man, come and say, "Osa, osa, ba, eko, ntoka." 92-year-old man, we are going to fight. He said, "Let me try tea." My mother said, "You are crazy." 92 at the time. And he was bent. He was walking like that and was holding Sekai. Oko, ntokwa, ba, ntokwa, ntokwa. Let's go. Men are competitive because of this testosterone. But they are competitive and dominant. That is why sometimes in a marriage, when a woman is doing so well and the man is that competitive, the man feels afraid. And some of you men should understand it. You are doing well in your job. Your man is not doing well. All you have to do is that encourage him. Oh, your day is coming. Oh, but if you have a not where they what now, son, baby, oh, may come in. Your own daughter, may come in. Because men are competitive. Somebody referred a case to me some time ago, and I was working together with a friend of it. When they sat down, like my friends here, then I asked them, what is it? The woman was the first to talk. I knew that there's a problem. And she talked plenty. The guy was quiet. She started. If you are a team, my SFB man, my so bad. Then I'm a chef, to your school fees, to your life bill. My salary, I 10 times. What's up? Oshawi, Edipia Kamani. I'm a kind of among one son. As I asked me, dear, I knew that this marriage will not work. The woman has taken a certain position. Men are competitive, they want to be dominant. Every man wants to control his home. Now, that control is not for abuse. No, not at all. The man wants to be in control. That is how God made man. So, if a man is at home and feels that the woman is virtually controlling him, the marriage is in trouble. And there are some men who can't stand competition at all. Oh, I have seen pastors whose wives preach better than them. And as soon as my man is preaching here, but in a swap, well, he never preaches plan or so, I'm preaching the next 1 year. I've seen it. Then he will tell the woman, I prayed over you to get the Holy Ghost baptism. Eh? This day was one night, I can see it now, oh, yeah, now, yeah. My men here, she. Your hair, and I say, oh, preachy. And I remember, I say, ah, mama, next time, cry, mama, but that didn't preach to you. Why preach? Mama, see ya. Pressure, mama, mama, see ya. And the software in the area for the preacher's plan, so. And when the woman is going to somewhere to preach, no, my wife is busy. She's my wife first before a preacher. We're good in ministry. Men are competitive and dominant. And this is why when a man tells a woman, I'll marry you, and spending money on a lady, then he goes to see another man. He will kill because of this. Because he feels that somebody is taking his privacy. Somebody is just kicking him off what he has toiled for. And when you meet the men you are talking about this, they will tell you, yeah, how can I be paying and somebody is just enjoying what I'm paying for? Let's go. Sex is a big thing for a man. It's a big thing for a man. Let's go to the next one. For example, men have greater sex drive than women. In fact, after all, men are widely seen as the pursuers. They chase after the women. In fact, some surveys estimate that men may think about sex 8 times in a day. What's the year? Now, it doesn't mean women don't love sex. No, that's not at all. Women like it, but men have, they think about it more. Kofia.